Jesus, draw me to your side. That flowed with blood when you hung and died. Wash away my guilty stains. Till only your peace remains. I'm the branch and you're the vine. Let your life flow one with mine. Fill this branch with fruit divine. A harvest of your love. Holy, holy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, soon to come again. The archangel with trumpet raised waits for the word your father will say. Your bride with her arms outstretched in praise says, come quickly, oh my love. Come quickly, oh, my love. We're during a time of visitation, folks. Those times when the Lord has responded to the intercession of a remnant, and they've called forth his sovereignty into the situation and said, Lord, administrate your deliverance, your justice, your mercy. We give ourselves over to the overcomer like never before and endeavor to be spendable currency in the advancement of the kingdom of God. One of the things he's doing is restoring the hearts of parents to children and children to parents. Healing of families. God is into family. He created us because he wanted a family. And created us with a central need, namely himself. And he's abundantly available moment by moment. And we get him as a patriarchal, tender daddy. We get Jesus, God the Son, as an elder brother. Jesus gets a bride out of the deal that he can passionately dote on and pour himself out on. And the Holy Spirit gets a temple that he can indwell and express all that the Father and the Son are manifestly as we're given over to him moment by moment. Now, we're cultivated in the consistency of that, because if you're anything like me, you got your moments when you're anything but manifesting the Lord. But I've learned to be quick to repent and bounce off of those walls and say, Lord, here I am once again to be a supple glove on your hand. Live through me. That is the Christian life. It is the life of Jesus Christ within us, and as we rely upon him, he lives through us. And yes, there'll be the mix of our debris and deficits, but that just lets people know that we're human, imperfect, but there is that unmistakable statement of the supernatural life of the Lord through us. that is magnetic in these days. The younger generation, the millennials, Generation Z, and yes, Gen Xers that got caught in the middle with an identity crisis. They love to see authenticity paired with the supernatural of the anointing. And when they see that blend, they are drawn to it as spiritual parents. Donna and I have seen it again and again. Scattered roses in the rain. Long lost times of seasons past. You've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. Fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul. Made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. The wreckage I surveyed was my life after the storm. Scattered rubble in the night, twisted, battered without form. Those I once called friends left my silent soul for dead. There was nothing they could do. Only words of sorrow said. Ah, but scattered roses in the rain. Long lost joys from seasons past. You've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul. Made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. Words of encouragement, edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the essence of New Covenant prophecy. Jesus became a curse for us, hanging on the tree. We're no longer under the Old Covenant. Do the right thing, you're blessed. Do the wrong thing, you're cursed. God's no longer in the cursing business, and he sent Jesus out of compassion, knowing that we could not measure up to the law. And he became a curse for us. We came under new ownership as we received him. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. You are the treasured, cherished possession of Father God on high through his Son, as attested to by the Spirit. We've been delivered from trying to be the CEO of our own lives and the center of our own little universe. Our independent contractor's license has expired. I know that because I've tried to renew mine a few times and it just doesn't work. Lord, I just want to say, I love you. My voice soars freely to your waiting ears. Now that I've said it, let me sing to you the song I feel and bring to you. As the fruit of my lips I yield, and with my song I serenade you. And with my fingers move across melodic strings. My joy now wells up and dances as a fountain here before you. Lord, I adore you. Let your mountains with their peaks reflect your setting sun. Let the rising surf now break and bow before you. Let everything with breath now breathe your holy name. And say, Jesus, Lord, I adore you. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's written, pursue love first and foremost, and desire spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, apart from character, or the attempt to exercise them, is like fire outside the stove. As we seek to become a more and more dependent receiver of the love of God, and know that we are His possession, and we stand in perfect, blameless righteousness, our sins forgiven, past, present, and future, embodying a new nature created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And the Holy Spirit is working to bring our walk in concert with that fact of life. And yeah, we'll step in some poop in the pasture and need our feet washed ever so often. We just will, and He knew that. But He's constantly working in us to refine us in that consistency of moment by moment reliance upon Him as our life source of power and purity in all that He is. And He calls us to perfection, but provides perfection as we partake of His nature that coalesces with our new nature that is created in the image of our Redeemer. As stated by Major Ian Thomas, the great biblical British teacher, Jesus Christ is the dynamic of His own demands. To paraphrase that with scripture backing, faithful is He who has called you, who will also do it. What's your name right here, brother?
David.
David, you're fighting a good fight on behalf of your loved ones. You draw nuggets from the stream to not only encourage your own heart as you meditate on those as they catch the glistenings of God's glory, but they also become smooth, round stones of weaponry that you're learning to declare through your lips, which become a veritable slingshot hitting those formidable giants right between the eyes. And by God's grace, you are empowered to walk on their face. And the Lord would encourage you with that. I'm not telling you a blessed thing you don't already know, but it's underscoring it with confirmation. A man who draws nuggets from the stream of the Spirit, nuggets of knowing, of gold, that bless you with their glistenings as you ponder them meditatively, but also shaped in the stream as weaponry, even as David drew the five smooth stones, five being the number of grace. And he was good with a slingshot, but I think he got some help on that particular shot with a little bit of angelic direction of the trajectory of that stone that hit old Goliath right between the eyes. God bless that to you, David. My brother here in black with the white hat or the black cap on, I'm not that colorblind. What's your first name? Mike, you're a fireplace of warmth in the Father's family room, and when people enter in, They sense this magnetic warmth and are drawn to the fireside that you are in your largeness of heart that's been willing to become a fireplace. It melts away the frigidity of the rejection of this world and the rigidity of religiosity. And so shall it be. People will be drawn to a magnetic, gregarious warmth that you exude in these days. And the Lord will prepare you to have a ready answer to their inquiry, that answer being Jesus in their lives. Seated next to Mike is Tammy. Tremendously tender, wonderfully compassionate, and dramatically discerning in an intuitive, prophetic way as to people's needs, and an anointing, that's just Holy Ghost ability, that permeates your speech to speak into those needs and to see their softened hearts penetrated with a word of deliverance. It'll be impromptu conversations that often develop sometime with total strangers. Could be in a grocery aisle somewhere, and you'll find yourself praying for them, and you'll find that they have been prepared and their hearts have been softened by the soil of the rain of the Spirit to receive the penetrating seed of words of healing love. God bless that to you. Lord's healing is people from rejection. Some of the abusive stigma of shame that's been laid upon us in the early years, and we've bravely dragged along the baggage of it, but the Lord said, you don't have to do that. And he begins to be the bedside-mannered physician with healing therapy. Waves of healing love that begin to flow over those areas where we've been bruised with the internal bleeding of the soul. That's going on with many of you right now. Just simply yield to it. I can remember seasons of my life that were very much like that. Night watches, meditating on him. And the next thing I know, there's a sweet inner glow of his loving presence and sweet impressions he convey that engender my confession, Lord, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate upon you in the night watches, you're there in the dark night of my soul to embrace that with healing grace. Hallelujah. Wrote this song in retrospect with that in view. Sometimes in the night watch of my room, on my back I lie and stare at my ceiling. I see his cross up there, crown of thorns in his hair, and it melts my stubborn will and sets me to kneeling. Then there's a glow that I feel within my room, like a friendly fire one feels on a chilly day. Over me he stands, heals my wounds with a nail-scarred hand. Such a big, strong hand once plied a carpenter's trade. Then I say, Lord, I want to be like you. Like a little boy wants to be like his father. He says, child, follow me. I'll show you things you never dreamed you'd see. You see, I'm warm, I'm real. You can give yourself to me. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I'd like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle. You are the wind beneath my wings. You are the wind beneath my wings. Says, child, follow me. I'm gonna show you things you never dreamed you'd see. You see, I'm warm, I'm real. You can give yourself to me. In the night watch of my room, and as we draw from his nurturing love to his sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, those are the highways into Zion of his dwelling place. He begins to show up manifestly, and we go from nurturing strength to assertive strength. That's in Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength, nurturing strength, is in thee. In his heart are the highways to Zion, sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Into the presence, they go from strength to strength. That is militant, assertive strength that speaks in concert with the conqueror and even brings rain into the valley of Baca, the place of desert depression. And Torsten, what has been a veritable wilderness for a season of time, it's a certain kind of aloneness. And at first it's desperation, but you look to the Lord and they become revelation stations of his glory. They become prophetic conditioning, to where your prophetic perspective is going to be more enriched and expressive than ever. It's been a difficult season, but you've stood strong, and your test will be resultant in the inevitable victory of Christ in you and through you, and your cooperation with the operation of the revelation of his empowering strength, even in your weakness. And the test will become a testimony that will bless many, many others. You're warring a good battle. And Daddy Lord, Abba Father, is proud of you. I can see him in my mind's eye showing his counterpart of snapshots to the angels in the throne room. That's my boy, Torsten. He's a son. He's a soldier, and he's a business partner in the operation of redemption, of importing and exporting heaven on earth. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. The darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile in the dark, I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Sweet song. And rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. As the Lord begins to heal his army, they become militant in cooperating with his majesty. And to the degree that we operate in communion, that is an interaction of consistent fellowship with him, he becomes our preoccupation, whatever our occupation happens to be. There's an awareness of his presence, like you're doing something you enjoy with a friend. It makes it more enjoyable and far more efficient, whether it's cutting the lawn or operating in your particular vocation. Hallelujah. The lady in white here, what is your name? Yes.
Jan.
What a trooper, not storm-tossed, but the craft which was shaken fore and aft by a huge change with its demands. You yielded to the Lord and have become more and more an extension of his merciful hand, of a velvet glove of his healing love spoken to others. I'm going to sing you a song. It's never been sung before. Now, Sister Jan, she's an extension of his hand. She's willing to be shaped, to be pliable, and to be a pliable glove of love on his hand. He's given you strength in your loss to stand, and he's making up the difference in multitudinous ways. And you'll comfort those passing through the valley of the shadow with the things you say. The devil has not gotten the last word by a long shot, and you know that, and I'm just underscoring that. Make straight the way were the words of John the Baptist. He was an Elijah prototype and paraphrased what Jesus had to say through him relative to the appearance of Messiah. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, which is simply means turn from self-rule to his rule. That's basically what that means. And to be more available than ever, to be spendable currency in the move of God. I remember somebody coming up to me with the veins standing out in their neck and very intensely. This was back in the charismatic renewal. It was a house meeting. And someone said, "Brother, are you in the move of God?" And in self-defense, I said, "Well, yes." And on the way home, I remember of pulling over the car and saying, "God, what is the move of God?" And he began to show me and continues to show me. Hallelujah. John the Baptist so defined it, it's creating a highway across planet Earth that the way of the saved are going to travel in ever-increasing fluidity and force, empowered by his grace. And as they're willing to have their hearts become a construction zone for the highway of God, even as John said, make straight the way, a highway for our God. He went on to say, every valley will be filled, every mountain and hill will be removed, the crooked ways made straight, and the rough places made smooth. Hallelujah. The Lord's underscoring the words of John in these days. Valleys. Paul recognized his deficits. He had a thorn in the flesh, and there's not a description of just what that affliction was. If there was, there would be a multitude of people that would claim that they had the thorn in the flesh and were suffering for the glory of God, and to please feel sorry for them. And Paul, I got a sense that he had a little bit of a case of self-pity there, wasn't getting an answer. And who knows what that thorn was. But it was painful, and there was a sense of desperation as he sought the Lord. And sometimes the answers we get aren't necessarily the ones that we would have scripted God to give us. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient. That is, recognize that deficits, that inability to produce spiritual results on your own. Recognize your weakness, your frailty of your humanity, and cause that place, that deficit, to be an empty stage for the bright and morning star, producer, director, and star to take stage center and maestro a movie produced and directed by him of his power, empowering grace, the formation and the revelation thereof in what had been an empty space. And God did, and he came through it. The Lord's doing that with a lot of us. It was a weakness as the Lord wanted to make the way of the saved, the highway in my heart, and it needed to be filled, and God did it. And then there's mountains that I face. Those are those obstructions that say, you're not going to get beyond this. Every mountain, every hill will be made leveled. And the Lord would say, speak to that mountain, command it to be removed, walk toward it, and know that by the time you get there, it's going to be level ground. My angelic Marines have landed, and the situation is well in hand. I remember the first time I got involved in cold turkey street ministry evangelism. I'd just gotten out of the Army. And in the Army, you know, you live with them. They see your flaws, but they recognize the unmistakable quality of life that comes from the transmitting of Jesus Christ. You know, they'd make fun of me a lot. But they would seek me out if they saw me sitting in the PX, the Army restaurant there, with coffee and sit down, and there would be a spirit of inquiry. And one of the guys, his first name was Woody. His last name had two A's in it. It was easily looked up. His last name was Anastad. And years and years, when I had the prophetic, or not the prophetic, but the technology savvy to scan and trace down people with my phone, I looked him up. And you know what? The memorial had been speech in glowing terms of the expressed appreciation for Woody. He'd been a gifted musician who'd become the worship leader in a sizable church there in Tillamook, and had orchestrated worshipful concerts to the glory of God for a union of churches throughout that city. and they were camped around his bed when he checked out of this world through cancer and passed over into healed wholeness. And I thought, wow, Lord, you do transform lives, because let me tell you, in the Army, he was the chief of the Tomcats that went down into the village and going from houses of ill repute and making the circuit and coming back in and seeing me propped up, either writing notes or just reading, and kind of whapping me on the foot and said, Dick, boy, I was sinning down there and it was great. And would walk away singing, I am sinking deep in sin, whoopee. But he would seek me out. He would seek me out. He saw Christ in me. And I'm sure sequentially there were others that spoke to him on his journey when he got out of the Army. He stopped in on me at the apartment I was living at, was working for a finance company, but later for a lumber yard. But I could see there was a transition going on. And all the accolades, the acknowledgments of pastors and leaders in that area, of Brother Woody, who had been a David in orchestrating and maestroing a spirit of worship throughout the churches in that area that had become so unified to where there was a bevy of pastors camped around his deathbed when he checked out into glory. I called his wife, because I had this cell phone in there. I was able to locate it, and I spoke with her. And I said, I was a friend of your husband in the Army. I didn't tell her what he was like in the Army. And I said, I read the memorial, and I was so moved by it. She said, Dick, I'm so glad you called. My best friend just drove off of a bridge. The car was out of control. It was rainy and murky and near zero visibility, and she drowned. And I'm officiating at her service tomorrow. Would you pray for me that I would be anointed, that I would hold up? And I did. I had the privilege of praying for her. She said, I'm so glad you called. Hallelujah. The devil does not get the last word in these things. He always overplays his hand. He's cunning up to a point, and then in blind rage shoots himself in the foot. That's just typically of how he's done it. And he's doing it again in our nation. He's just pushed things too far. And common sense has begun to set in on the injustice and the abject foolishness with the choices that are being made that are attempting to move us towards socialism. That's when society says there are no absolutes, and society itself becomes the absolute. And those who embrace the absolutes issued by a supreme meeting being are seen as deviant and need of annihilation. But there is divine intervention that is going on in our nation. Revival is starting to happen and break loose. People are seeing the need for moral absolutes in view of the perversion that's being taught and purveyed on our schools and our college campuses. More and more young people are, even though they're of scholarship quality, choosing not to go to universities and learn a trade instead, and there is a real need for a learning of the trades. And they get through it in jig time, and they're making big bucks upon graduation. And it's just a whole new turning in our economy. I've had a chance to look at millennials. They are looking for authenticity paired with supernatural anointing. Generation Z, early 20s and teenagers, what a generation. That is a key generation. They've been surveyed, and 95% of them are for traditional marriage. How about that? After the devastation that they've seen through the commonality of divorce. Praise the Lord. What a time we're living in. John goes on to say, the crooked way is made straight. sometimes things that are in denial because the pleasure of sin for a season, and say, you know, my flesh really needs this. I need this relief and this release. But eventually, what was pleasure turns into misery. And we cease from the denial and the lying to ourselves, and the crooked ways are made straight. The rough ways made smooth. Lord's done some work in me with that. You know, most of the time I'm diplomatic and nice and gracious to people and enjoy being so, but he dealt with me on an issue. He said, you know, after you've been on the tedium of a long trip, even though Donna's done most of the driving, and you've been sitting there, and you know, I don't have the set of glutes that I used to have for padding. It's kind of done a 180 to my middle, and they're no longer soft glutes. To put it bluntly, I've turned into a bone butt. And it's hard to sit there without the pain and discomfort. And I tend to get admittedly irritable at a time when I need to just be thankful that I can sit at all. And I know very often we're booked in hotels and motels by churches. And the attendants behind there can really make some major mistakes in the rooms they place you in. Specifically, the church has asked for, and we've called for, the confirmation of a lower floor to simplify things. And lo and behold, there's been a mix-up. And I find myself getting kind of intense. Donna's standing next to me, and she's patting me on the posterior as if to say, settle down. And though I like the pats on the posterior, it doesn't take the edge off of me. Hey, I'm a guy, what can I say? Still very much in love with my wife. And I can get pretty intense. And the Lord began to say to me, you know, a lot of these people, English is not their first language, and the mistake could have been made on a previous shift. The Lord said, it's a rough area in your life that needs to be smoothed out. It's coarse. C-O-A-R-S-E. And I said, Lord, you're right. Of course. Thank you. And he's done a change. Make straight the way of the Lord. Every valley will be filled, every mountain hill made low, the crooked ways made straight. The rough places made smooth. Increasingly, as we move in the way, the working of what's true of our new nature and our righteousness getting translated into our soul, that we might transmit Jesus in ever-increasing measure. And our lives become a sign, an on-ramp sign that says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. A lot of people are gathering on the on-ramp these days. There's a craving curiosity. Desperation softens the soil of their heart for the penetration of the revelation of the gospel. There was a survey done. 75% were intrigued with interest, and some of them downright craving on the person of Jesus. But they were concerned about going to church because, and a lot of it's prejudicial, because they felt they embodied religiosity at the expense of relationship. And a lot of churches do, but it's because they put platform over presence. But the Lord's doing a reversal of making things right side up. And we as individual believers are becoming less and less driven and more led. I know I am. And ceasing to be cerebral at the expense of my heart. Becoming a channel under his mantle. Hallelujah. There's an old Louisiana camp meeting song goes like this. I want to be a channel for the river of God. Want to be a channel for the river of God. So dig me deep, Lord, and dig me wide. I want to be a channel for the river of God. Pick up on that and see if you can sing it with me. I want to be a channel for the river. For the river of God, it repeats. I want to be a channel for the river of God. So dig me deep, Lord. So dig me deep, Lord. And dig me wide. I want to be a channel for the river of God. I think you're getting it. Let's start it again. I want to be a channel for the river of God. I want to be a channel for the river of God. So dig me deep, Lord, and dig me wide. I want to be a channel for the river of God. Kind of turning the corner toward a close. Ken and Jane, Daryl and Pam. She's gainfully involved in some other way this morning. Our greetings to her. You've been pillars in this church. I saw you on the four corners of the spiritual body of this church, and behind each of you was this extremely tall angel with a hand on your shoulders. And you were leaning on the strength of that angelic being who is a messenger of God sent to strengthen you, and you've been living epistles of faithfulness. You've been through the difficulties and through the downright perils that come with the formation of a sound church. You've stood supportively with the pastors. And you have sown support, and you are reaping support. And your latter years will be greater yet than your former years because of what's been sown. I've just appreciated the friendship of the four of you, you know, as long as I've been coming here. There's this gregarious warmth and greeting that comes, and along with Pat and Sarah and the girls have made it like a home away from home. Hallelujah. You guys are blessed. And I know there's going to be an addition and influx of people coming in here filling these empty seats because it's going to get around that Jesus is very much at home in this church. He is celebrated in his centrality as the sovereign and source of Family Worship Center, a community of healing love, a citadel of discipleship, and a blend of authenticity and the supernatural. And there will be a drawing, and some of it, younger generation, they're going to crave spiritual parenthood. And many of you are designated as surrogate spiritual parents of new believers that are going to come. And they're very impressionable. A lot of them have had encounters and dreams and supernatural experiences, but they need that caption of the word under what's been pictorial. Hallelujah. Mary came to the tomb to pray. She saw the stone had been rolled away. She cried, "They've taken my Lord away, and I know not where they've laid him." To her side a stranger came. She knew him not, then he spoke her name. Saw 'twas he who'd suffered mortal pain, and she cried, "My Lord, it's you." Away she ran, bursting forth with joy, like a fountain in morning sun, with news for a band of broken men who had followed him along the dusty roads. Dare they hope again to see their Lord? His followers hid behind locked doors in fear of the persecution sword. In their midst came the risen Lord, saying, "Fear not, blessed peace be with you. See these hands, this wounded side. Now see your Lord, the crucified." Later, Thomas said, "I will not believe till I feel his scars with my hands." The Lord reached out to his child of doubt, saying, "Thomas, feel now my wounds." "My Lord, my God," the doubter cried to his risen Lord, whose holy sores had bled for him and for us all. He told them, "Go throughout the world with the holy scroll of truth unfurled. In mighty power unparalleled, bringing life to dying men. He ascended high over Galilee till their mortal eyes could no longer see. Yet lingering still were his parting words, 'Ah, for lo, I am with you always.' Even unto the end of the world." May the nail-pierced hands of Jesus extended and dripping with the oil of healing and the joy of gladness with the balm of Gilead massage these things to your heart and soul this morning, sensitized and energized each of us further to be a building site for the highway of the Lord and to learn in greater fluidity and empowerment to travel the way of the saved and manifest in growing measure the treasure of the salvation that's ours in our spirit, that would be conveyed to our soul, our earthenware, to transmit his excellence. God bless that to each and all and every household represented here. Pastor Pat.